I'll be sharing a message entitled Freedom Sunday. I've gotten several people asking me, wasn't Scott supposed to be preaching today? Maybe some of you are wondering that too. And it's probably because we have a similar hairstyle and physique. I understand that. But then I realized in our New Hope News, it did say Scott was preaching. So now I'm thinking maybe it was just information. Actually, he was supposed to be preaching in our 1 Peter series, which we're currently in. We're going through the whole book of 1 Peter, little nugget at a time. So some of you may know, but Scott's uncle, his mom's brother, recently passed away in Michigan. So he actually headed out to Michigan on Friday. He got back this morning at, I believe, 3:30. I just heard from his wife, Jody. So he's not preaching, so I'll be sharing a message that has been on my heart, and this opportunity came up right at the perfect time. But I want to take a moment just to pray for the Davey family. And as I do that at the start, is there anyone here? You don't have to say what, but you're just saying, I need a touch of God today. Maybe you're also going through something difficult. Maybe you're having something that's just going through. Anyone, you can just raise your hand. We're not going to have you stand, just acknowledging before God and like, Lord, I need you to meet me somewhere because I'd love to pray for you too. All right. Yeah, let's bow our heads. Yep, see the hands all around. And more importantly, God sees your hand and more so your heart saying, Lord, I need you. God, I just thank you, Lord, today that we can gather. And Lord, I thank you so much for Scott and just his heart to serve, Lord, as he was at a funeral in Maine last week to support the Greers. God, we pray comfort and peace over the Greer family. God, I pray comfort and peace now over the Davey family, that they would know the presence of God. Lord, thank you that Scott would want to drive his parents all the way out to Michigan and back and just be there in a supportive way. God, would you just refresh your brother as he's resting now? God, be with the family. And Lord, I pray for those who are just lifting up their hands. Maybe they're also going through a grieving moment. Maybe you are. Or maybe you have something else right now. But Lord, I am so thankful that you're able to meet all our needs. So God, I just pray right now that we be able to receive your grace, your mercy, your peace, your love. God, for those struggling with hope, just a rekindling of the hope of Jesus in the core of their being. God, I pray that we could just know you in a special way. And Lord, thank you, God, as we're going to focus this message primarily on others. But Lord, we know that you very much care about each one of us as well. Guide us and lead us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So some of you might be aware from the bulletin or maybe the New Hope News or on Friday. We're doing something today called Freedom Sunday. I was going to do about like a 3 to 5 minute kind of awareness and then prayer. And then with Scott going to Michigan, it turned into something bigger. So Freedom Sunday is a Sunday that's happening all around the country now in a bunch of different churches. And it's a partnership with an organization called International Justice Mission. And I got to hear the president of International Justice Mission, which is IJM. I'll probably refer to it as IGM, but just know I'm referring to it as IJM is the correct way. But the president's Gary. And I got to hear Gary a couple weeks ago in a Rochester simulcast. And just his heart for the Lord, but also seeking after those who are oppressed and bounded in slavery around the world. And so I do want to make mention, for those who are visiting, we don't usually have this kind of focus on a heavy topic this intentionally during the service. So today, the content's going to be kind of heavy because we're talking about slavery, adults and children. I'm not going to try to embellish it, emotionally hype it. I'm just going to share some facts about slavery, that it exists, God's heart, I believe, to really end it, but also ways we can be praying. And maybe for some of us, you might be like, hey, I want to find out more. Maybe you want to support this organization. But the main point is awareness, God's response, our response, and in prayer. So the first time I heard about International Justice Mission, actually it was like 5 or 6 years ago. There was a student here who was a local. Some of you might remember Kelly McCarthy, Mary Buchanan, and Brent. I remember she was a Clarkson student. She's like, Jim, I would love to do something called a Freedom Night. I'm like, what's a Freedom Night? She's like, well, I heard of this organization. I want to bring awareness. And can we do something at New Hope? And I believe it was like 5 or 6 years ago. So I remember we had a time of prayer, time of just singing songs of awareness and really interceding for those in slavery. It was neat because Kelly went on to go intern at this organization. I remember the first time she said, I'm working at this organization that what we're facing is so great. And there's an enemy in this world, the devil, that just loves to keep things hidden. And there's opposition. But we know that Christ is greater than the one inside of us. But she's like, when I get to work, she's like, the first 30 minutes of work paid is spent in prayer. First 30 minutes spent in prayer. And I thought, man, what a good deal, right? Snoozing at work praying at work for 30 minutes, right? And I didn't really understand the depth of like what they were doing until I heard their president talk a month ago, and I realized the opposition they were facing was really fierce. So one of the messages, I don't know, 5-6 weeks ago, I mentioned that some of their lawyers who loved the Lord were actually killed in Nigeria because they were trying to bring justice to a corrupt police system there. And so the opposition they faced was very real. So the reason why they had 30 minutes was to really just go with their fear issues before the Lord and find his love and perspective. So just real issues, but real men and women who love Jesus making a difference. So I'm going to start off with giving you a scope of how big this is, some statistics. If you like numbers, this will be helpful. But then I want to show a story, a video. It's about 5 minutes long about Kumar, who's a children who was in bonded labor. He was in a situation where his dad died and his mom just gave him away. And because of the debt of his parents, he's essentially like forever a slave, you could say, to a worker who was hurting him. So the video is heavy, and if for some parents, you're like, well, maybe my children don't want to be here, you can make that decision. The visual on that video I'll just mention isn't like super graphic per se, but it's more what you're hearing and what you're reading and subtitles, the content of it. Just want to give that heads up for those who might have young ones. So let's look at some of the problem. We're going to look at the problem, a story, and then we're going to be looking at the Gospel of Luke soon. So here's some statistics which maybe you're aware of, but over 45 million people are held in slavery today. That's from the Global Slavery Index. According to the Walk for Freedom Foundation, they also have the same number, 45 million people. To put that in perspective, 45 million people is greater than the population of 158 countries in the world. So 45 million people, 158 countries in the world. 45 million is more slaves than were trafficked during 400 years of the transatlantic slave trade. 45 million people enslaved today is more than at any other time in history. And then from the International Labor Organization, you'll see down here, 1 in 4 slaves is a child. So there's bonded labor, forced labor, but within that there's also sex trafficking. Credible and conservative estimates of global sex trafficking indicate that there are between 4.2 million and 11.6 million people held in forced commercial sexual exploitation. This is also from the International Labor Organization. Human trafficking generates about $150 billion a year, and two-thirds from commercial sexual exploitation. I knew some of these numbers, but I didn't know all these numbers when I was reading these. I was just like, how do I not know this? And this is what we're doing, is bringing awareness. A child goes missing in India every 8 minutes, and nearly half are never found. So in a 32-minute sermon, I think that's about 4 children. There's a need, there's a reason why we're bringing this up, but a need to pray and be involved. Injustice. Globally, 4 billion people live outside the protection of the law, and that's statistics from the United Nations. 4 billion people. So these are a lot of big numbers, and they're obviously, these numbers represent people. We're going to watch a video. Like I said, it's Kumar. It's the child in it who we will see who will get older. And I'll mention it is a little, it's heavy, it's real, it's slavery. So I just want to give that heads up. But you're going to see the brokenness and the hurt that happens in slavery. But then you're also going to see the difference of redemption, literally rescuing with IJM and their national workers over there, literally rescuing Kumar. So we're going to watch the video right over here, and then I'll come back in about 5 minutes.
You're working 14, 18-hour days with very little sleep, no freedom. Dignity is taken away from them, and that's something nobody should have to endure. We had a number of years ago, two of the bonded laborers escaped from a facility. And they were tracked down by the owners of the facility and brought back. And as a punishment for what they had done, their hands were chopped off.
We would go to the government officers and we'd say, sir, there is a bonded labor case. And almost always the response was, there is no bonded labor in my area. What are you talking?
30.
Yeah, yeah, I'm free.
Ruchira, can you, there's a girl who's very afraid. Almost unable to walk.
This is Kumar. He was abandoned by his mother, and his father was suddenly killed. Orphaned and alone, he was accountable for his parents' debts. And at just 7 years old, he was forced into slavery. Kumar remembers a day where he was so ill he couldn't get out of bed. Immediately, his owner came looking for him. Kumar was trapped by debt and a slave owner who beat him continuously. He, like so many, had no remaining hope for a way out. IJM discovered the horrific conditions in the brick factory where Kumar and others were being forced to work against their will. And, based on their undercover video evidence, local government authorities and police came alongside IJM to conduct a rescue operation.
The more and more we are doing these rescues, people are getting aware that people are being abused. There is bonded labor, there is trafficking. Also, the law is going to take its course as well as perpetrators go behind.
When the team arrived in the morning and entered the brick factory, 15 men, women, and children were rescued and given their freedom back. Then, they were each given a certificate to prove that they no longer owe any debts to their former owner. And one was for Kumar. After being rescued, IJM placed Kumar in their aftercare program to heal.
You'd ask him a question anytime, no matter what, and he would say, the one thing I want to do, sir, is I want to study. He was clear about that.
And then they enrolled him in school for the first time. Today, he is studying to be a social worker, to help those still suffering like he did.
And what we do at IJM is we go look for that lost sheep, that girl that's being abused, that widow who's been run out of her home. And we will search for her until we find her. That's how our Father has loved us. That's how we are called to love others. Not to search for them until we've satisfied ourselves. Not to search for them until it gets really hard. But to go after them until we find them. To be relentless in our love.
Let's take a moment to pray, especially after watching, I think, a pretty heavy video, just God's thrown in our heart. God, I just thank you for the way you've loved us, Lord, relentlessly pursuing us. God, I think about how, Lord, you used that story about a shepherd losing one sheep and leaving the 99 and going after that one. God, each person matters, each adult, each child in this country and all around the world. And God, we just pray, God, for your prompting and leading as we're just looking to your word now, God, of, yeah, how we can be involved in your mission, God, of really caring well and loving people the way you have loved us. God, bring comfort to those maybe who are just feeling emotionally overwhelmed right now. And God, I pray that we could be moved to draw closer to you, God, and hear from you and glean from you, Lord. God, I just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, it's a pretty strong video. I watched this, this is the fourth time I watched it. The first time, once I got halfway through, I just started weeping through the last 3 minutes. I couldn't actually watch it without just crying. Especially for me, I was thinking, I have two young boys, 1 and 3. I'm like, man, if that was my family, like, what would I do? just mentioning it makes me want to cry. But yeah, if you make it personalized in any way, it's like, man, I would give anything. All right, we'll move on because otherwise we'll be back to weeping again. But let's look at let's look at some scripture. So I know we painted a pretty big. We have stats and there's a video showing one story. But let's look at God's heart for people, for caring and for justice. We're going to start in Luke 4, chapter 18 to 21. This is kind of neat. This is Jesus. He's moving from his private kind of ministry and now coming on the scene in a public forum in his ministry. And yeah, people are wondering, like, what's this Jesus all about? Like, what's he going to be doing? Like, what's his game plan? And as he's coming out, this is the words he'll be sharing. And he's quoting from the Isaiah, in Isaiah 61, from the prophet. And let's read these verses, and I'll talk a couple more things about it. So it says, then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread throughout all the surrounding country. And he began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came up to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. These verses are special to me. I have a Bible that my mom and dad gave me. Probably, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. And just a little aside, but I just love my parents. They speak life into me, and I know a lot of parents do that. But my mom was really good at writing things down. And so I have this Bible, and my mom put these verses in here from Isaiah, just kind of saying that for you, Jen, this is what I believe God's calling you to and your ministry. And the thing was, I wasn't even in ministry, so I was like, I'm going into business, but thank you, Mom. But man, love parents that love the Lord. You can have that opportunity to speak life into young people and really guide them. And this is a verse I go back to a lot. So just a little aside for parents or even friends, you have the opportunity through the Holy Spirit. You can speak life into others and really call out what God's doing in their life. But here in this scripture, we see Jesus. He's saying, "Hey, the Isaiah prophecy, Isaiah 61, that's me. I'm fulfilling it. I've come here," and he's coming to do a couple of things. To bring good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and let the oppressed go free. I love those things that God came to do, because I believe, you know, Christ, this is what you're about. And if we want to be more like Christ, growing together towards maturity in Christ, our vision, Lord, could we be part of that too? Now, in this context, a lot of times, there's a focus. The biggest need we have is actually not a physical problem. It's a spiritual problem. It's being forever separated apart from God because of our sin. And for those who are maybe new or you're exploring God, Jesus came down to the earth, not just to teach a really awesome teaching, which it was, but he came to live and then die on a cross for your sin and for my sin. That's the greatest, even though we just watched this video. I'm not diminishing the video, huge need, but the spiritual separation because of our sin, even greater, that we would be forever separated apart from God because of our brokenness. But you get to see how much God loves us, that he would send himself, Jesus, down to earth to take on your sin and my sin on the cross. In this context, there's a lot of folks that thought, you know, what this would look like would look a little different. You know, the Roman Empire, those who were oppressing, maybe, hey, we're going to have like an overthrow, and they're expecting a triumphant king to come, not one that came as a servant. And so you see the greatest need being spiritual. But you also see Jesus pulling away. If you look at his ministry in the Gospels, he would hang out with the marginalized. He would hang out with the poor, those who were often forgotten, those who were neglected, women that no one would touch just because of their lifestyle, maybe men who had a Samaritan background that the religious folks wouldn't even help if they found them on the side of the road. So even though I do want to say, Jesus, the biggest need is fixing that gap between us and God, and Jesus has done that, which is awesome. Isn't that awesome? God's paved the way. It's like, come on, thank you, Lord. But he also cared. So it's not like one or the other, that, well, I hope people figure it out on this planet. I'm just here to redeem the spiritual life of people. But he also so cares for those who are broken. He would go to those who had disease and deformities or paralyzed, and he would bring healing and life. So it wasn't like he was just going by the brokenness of our world on his way back to heaven. He wanted to meet needs. And as Christians, those who follow Christ, we're also supposed to be sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, that God has died for your sins. You can have a new life with Jesus today. Maybe you're here and you don't know Christ. You can have that just by receiving God, asking God, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. God, would you forgive me of my sins? Lord, I want to put you first. Would you make me new? From your heart, God says you can give you a rebirth, literally a spiritual rebirth. But as we're doing that, we also want to be able to meet needs and care well. I love how Marianne was just mentioning caring well for those in Haiti, you know, wondering if you had an impact or not. I believe you do have an impact. I'm sure lasting impact is God's using you. I know we have community programs like the Snack Pack program wanting to help feeding kids who don't have a lot of food or no food over the weekend in the schools, or with partners with Ethiopia, helping orphans and widows in Ethiopia. And so there's definitely the practical outworking. But a lot of times there's not a focus on the justice piece. But justice is actually in, not to say those don't focus on the justice, but a lot of times I don't necessarily share about the justice piece. I want to highlight a couple scriptures that have to do with God, who is a just God. He's a caring God. He's a loving God. But as we were singing earlier, he's also holy. If he created every single person on the planet in his image, in their mother's womb, like, if you're messing with another person, you're messing with God's creation. Sometimes when you see videos or things going on, it's like, well, that's happening in that part of the world. No big deal, right? That storm hit there, or they're having a dictator problem over there. But you got to realize these are God's people. He created each one of them. He cares tremendously about them. He cares tremendously about Kumar, which that's an awesome story of just redemption and rescuing. I love the part where they had in that video where they had he had that little certificate that said, I'm free, you know, I'm no longer a debt. And I felt when I watched it three or four times, the Lord kept saying, like, that's what I did on the cross for you, Jim. You had a debt you could not pay, and I came and took your place and died on the cross. I'm just like, yeah, come on, Jesus. So it's just a little awesome thing that Jesus does. But how can we be his hands and feet on the earth in practical ways of caring? Well, we're going to look a little bit more about that in a moment. But let's just look at a couple of verses that talk about justice in the Bible. In Isaiah 1:17, it says, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. Proverbs 14:31, whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker. I love the connection. We're just mentioning that. God created each person. So whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for the maker. It's really an offense towards God. But whoever is kind to the needy honors God. So, so cool. If you oppress, well, this isn't cool. If you oppress someone, you're taking like an offense up with God. And I don't know about you, but I would not want to be on God's bad side, right? I mean, he's God. He created a universe. But the neat thing, whoever is kind to the needy honors God. Cool way to honor God is care for the needy. It's like, man, because you wonder, like, how can I love a God who's infinitely greater than me? There's like nothing I can do. You know, I was down at a Sandstoner Park in the water yesterday with my boys, and I was trying to make like a little sandcastle thing. I'm like, I can't make a sandcastle big enough, you know, I think that would look like God's mountains, right? But this is cool. Whoever is kind to the needy honors God. We can do things, I think, please our Heavenly Father. Matthew 23:23, New Testament passage. This is Jesus. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites." Those are people that say one thing and do another. "You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin." That would actually probably make like a good chili, but "you give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness." So these are religious folks that Jesus are talking to. It's like, yeah, like you're going through like this ritual, sacrificial thing, but you're missing out on piece of the heart of God, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. Micah 6:8, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." And this last quote isn't from the Bible, but it's a man named Brian Stevenson, author of Just Mercy, who I just got to hear just a couple weeks ago at the same conference. Just fantastic. Men and women of God doing really cool stuff around the world. But he says this. He says, "The opposite of poverty is not wealth. The opposite of poverty is justice." Opposite of poverty is not wealth. The opposite of poverty is justice. And there's many in this world. There's a lot of uses of the word justice, but really, God's justice needs to prevail. And we can be part of that in a God-honoring way. So I wanted to share just a little bit about this organization that I've been using the resources from, International Justice Mission, just to tell you a little bit more about them before we have a time of praying, as we'll be wrapping up this message. IGM, or JM. I keep thinking Jim. I'm sorry, that's my name, but I've seen these words. I'm like, that's not my, no, IJM. I'm gonna have difficulty spelling my name later. Here's a couple things about them. They are the largest international anti-slavery organization in the world. And man, I heard the president talk, and he has such a heart for the Lord. I was just so inspired that I'm sharing this with you all right now. Vision/rescue. And I might actually have these slides. I should just check. Yeah, here we go. This is their vision. Rescue thousands, protect millions, prove that justice for the poor is possible. Today, we are helping to protect more than 21 million people from violence around the world, seeking justice in nearly 20 communities around the world. Over 46,000 officers and officials trained over the last 5 years. Then over 1,200 convictions against slave owners, rapists, and other criminals. A really neat organization. If you're interested in learning more, you can check out their website. I'll show that, I think, in a moment. But I wanted to end this message with a focus. There's a need, and for some, maybe we knew about this need. It's being reminded of it. For others, maybe you're like, I had no clue. I thought slavery was gone. I know some maybe, you know, or maybe it was minimized. Maybe it's just like in some small places. But the thing that there's 45 million people enslaved, the highest there's ever been, there's a need for us to respond. I love a pastor, his name's Bill Hybels. He said it this way. He says, the church is the hope of the world. I just love that phrase. Us, people, you and I, we can bring the gospel, the hope of Jesus Christ. We can go to places. We can pray for people in those places. And we can support people who are in there to make a difference. And I want to finish with prayer. And for some, if I'm no guilt or emotion or anything, but if you're feeling like, I would love to support this organization, their biggest need is actually financial, that they be able to train and raise up more nationals in other countries to be able to bring justice in a God-honoring way. So if you feel so inclined, in the back of your bulletin, there's actually the website. It's ijm.org/FP. It's called Freedom Partner. Become a Freedom Partner. For some of you, that might be something you want to do. You can be part of something they have. It's $24 a month. And right now, they have a matching donation for the end of this month till the end of September, up to $500,000. They have a matching gift or gifts. So I want to let you know that, but I don't want to make that the primary focus. I want to actually move to prayer. So a couple things I was just going to lead us in praying for. And I'd like to invite the musicians up at this time to get ready to lead us in a closing song before our benediction. We want to pray for those who are helping to bring justice to end slavery around the world. Those in other countries that are mobilized and helping. There's a real, this is like real opposition. I just remember when the President Gary was just sharing about the three lawyers in Nigeria that were killed. I was like, this isn't just like verbal, like, you know, persecution. This is like real life. Like, there's people that do not want to lose their profitable income of billions of dollars to a justice system. And so they will fight back. But we know that the one in us is greater than he who is in the world. Amen? And it's like, let's keep going, let's keep sharing, and let's keep praying. We want to pray for the 45 million. I know that's a huge number. I can't even comprehend that number. People who are in slavery. Anything about God, though, he cares about each one of those. He knows all the names of those 45 million. And Lord, we pray for them as there's people wanting to help. God's inviting us on his mission to be part of sharing his love and mercy and justice. And then we want to pray for the individuals and systems that continually enslave people. The perpetrators, systems, whether they're government or they're just no justice, 4 billion with no justice. Systems, they just kind of, you do whatever you want, no one's going to hold you accountable. But I want to pray, and I believe each child, like Kumar, may there be many more stories of children and adults being freed. I was talking with someone that's new to church here just this week, and I asked if I could share just a little bit about what he was sharing with me, but he's done a lot with missions, and he's telling me how he's went to Thailand, and Thailand is one of the biggest countries for sex trafficking. Because it's also a huge country for sex tourism, a huge profitable industry. But he was mentioning how him and his team, they would walk the streets and then be praying and worshiping during the day. And then at night, they would go into bars and ask ladies, like, hey, would you be able to come to a meal the next day? And there was an organization they were working with that would help give these ladies a meal, get them a job. Some folks, because of poverty and the systems they're stuck in places. Just simply, he was telling me that their parents would send them to the city to try to make money so they had food. And so some of them weren't actually in a bonded labor case, which is like the most focus of this. They're just in a place, they didn't have any money. They didn't have a resource. They didn't have a job. So this organization was giving them a job and dignity and safety. And so we want to pray for those who are on the ground, helping those in need. So I'm going to pray, and feel free to just be praying quietly with me. And in a moment after, we'll be singing a song called Mighty to Save, a great reminder that God is wonderful and mighty. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are good. God, when you see such a broken and evil in this world, it can get, so disheartened and down. But God, can we take a moment now just to fix our eyes on Christ together? God, remember that you reign over all. God, you're not excited about this. You already know what's going on. But Lord, would you change our hearts, God, to be able to be part of praying, going, supporting those, God, who are making a difference here and around the world. So, God, we want to pray for those who are on the ground in the countries, God. We pray for International Justice Mission. We pray for other organizations, like the one I just mentioned in Thailand, that's helping all around the world, God. We pray that they would be strengthened, encouraged. God, we pray for your protection, Lord, over them. God, we pray that your gospel would advance, Lord. God, I thank you for, I believe it was in Cambodia, which used to be one of the worst sex trafficking places in the world, is actually because the church has grown. Your church has grown, Lord. It's now diminishing. Praise you, Lord. God, we pray that for these countries like Thailand and other places, that's just, this is the prophet, God, that this would no longer be the prophet, Lord, but your name would be lifted high. God, we lift up those who are in slavery. I can't imagine what they are going through right now. But God, I know that you can minister to all 45 million at the same time. So God, I pray that you, Lord, would just show up in a powerful way. God, I pray that they would be knowing that they are not alone, that you are with them. God, I pray that you could orchestrate ways of rescue, safety, opening prison doors. God, you did that for Paul and Silas. God, you can do tremendous things. Lord, we pray for them. God, we pray for these lives that you care about. God, may they not go silently into the distance back of our mind, that we forget them. But God, may we pray and intercede for those who are hurting, for those who are lost. God, the ones that you seek after, may we seek after with you. And God, I pray for the individuals and systems that enslave people for profit, enslave people because it's easier to get the work done. It's cheaper to just buy someone every month than to feed them. God, I just pray, Lord, that you would just break their hearts for you, God. God, I pray for a transformation, Lord. But God, I pray for those that do not want to be transformed, God, that resist. God, I pray for just justice, your justice, God. honoring justice, systems, God, that would allow people to live and work in freedom, God. Help us, Lord, to use our resources in a way that help resource others who don't have any money, that feel like they're stuck to do things, God, that literally, Lord, you do not call us to do. God, we thank you that you are great. We thank you that you are powerful. God, we thank you that this is not the end of the story. This is not a period. God, for some of us, this might be a launching point into a new ministry. So, God, we just thank you, Lord, that you never leave us nor forsake us. And as we sing this song, God, we just praise you because you are mighty indeed to save. Amen.